RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Let's have another Tech Tuesday here at RCR with Stephen Sykes, who's been to the Santa parades with Kit. How's it been going, Stephen?
No, it's been good so far, thanks. So I've done the Oamaru one and the Christchurch one, and while I was in Oamaru, somebody who doesn't usually go to Santa parades came down to say hello because I said I'd be here.
Most people don't usually go to them, it's fair to say. So a fan of yours turned up in Oamaru.
Yeah, it was fantastic. She came down to say hello, and it was fantastic talking with her. And it was great to, you know, meet people face-to-face like that.
Brilliant.
Old school, you know, face-to-face.
Oh, yeah, remember that. Okay, yeah. So there are more to come, though. You're out on the road again before Christmas, I know that.
Yeah, there's Timaru next weekend.
All right.
This weekend coming.
We'll turn up for that. We will see. Guarantee they will. All right. So we've had quite a few items of feedback. More than last time. It grows all the time. I believe up to six. So we better get into those.
Up by one, yes. So Beth has said that it is so great to hear Kit again. He was swell. More, please. Well, I have it on good authority. I'm pretty sure he'll be back before the year is up.
Oh, that's really swell.
Yeah.
Really swell. Groovy, man. All right.
Okay. Raywin, who wrote in last time from Tauranga, when she was talking about the all the cameras in Tauranga, she has said they are obviously not used for crime here, as we had a drug deal going on in the park next to us. I contacted the community constable and gave him the exact time the dealer and dealee arrived and left, and said it would be all on the camera. He said he could not do anything, as he could not access the camera footage from the council without permission. He asked me to get their rego number and take a photo next time. Like, yeah, right, like they will all pose for a friendly wee photo to mark the occasion. He was obviously quite happy to put me at risk and didn't give a rat's ass about the meth deal going down. I don't bother now.
Yeah, okay. Though, just thinking of the question, do you dob in people in that situation? I suppose you
Well, it's potentially dangerous, depending on, you know, no crim doing, you know, stuff like that wants to be discovered.
No.
It could be potentially hostile, maybe.
I don't know if it's a good thing to get involved in, even if they're breaking the law. Okay. But interesting to know about the cameras. Carry on.
Okay. Just listening to Tech Tuesday, another scam is Mirazoa in Wellington. Same MO as the Auckland scam shop. Loved business, but in-person shop closed down and now clearing the warehouse. I got sucked in, but stood my ground and insisted on a refund as per their own policy. Took half a dozen emails, though. It's from China. Quality was appalling and nothing like what was advertised. I laid a complaint with the Commerce Commission.
Oh, I'm sure they dedicated huge resources to that. But
yeah.
What else can you do, you know? All right. That was kind of the pop-up shop that we were talking about. Although we're getting rid of stock anyway.
Due to closing down.
Yeah, okay.
Clearance sale.
All right.
Somebody else has said that their extra email got scammed, and I'm sure we've all had something along those lines. Jackie has said that, just listening about your card being blocked, Stephen, I have just come back from a trip to China. One week in, my visa was blocked because a quote-unquote known fraudster had taken $2 out of my account. Apparently, this is the start, and if the transaction is successful, they then drain the account. It was pretty hard being in China without money. The bank's idea was to use someone else's card to get cash out of an ATM. ATMs were extremely rare where I was. Didn't ever see one. I spent the rest of the trip relying on other people. Pretty hard. And even harder if you happen to be there by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, so they try a little transaction that you'd hardly notice.
Yep.
And then if that's all go, goodbye.
Pretty much, yeah.
The next one's a hammer blow. I was watching a video and a guy was describing, he was showing actually, Him and his girlfriend were in China. They went into the supermarket. He had no money, and he put his hand down on this thing, and it paid that way.
Yes, I've seen that happen, and someone did it and was showing it off as if it was so awesome. I think it was the Swiss. Yeah, it was the Switzerland, I think it was.
Yeah, but it just shows you where it's gone, right? And they thought maybe it was the same video. They both thought it was incredible. Mm. And then this place is light years ahead of the UK or whatever they were comparing it with.
Yeah, and like paying for stuff out of vending machines or something, you just like stick your hand up and,
and
program it to open doors that you would have previously used, you know, just a regular work card. Like, well, now I just like use the force and wave my hand and then doors open.
He said he set it up about an hour before he demonstrated using it. So even, and WeChat, I think, is the interface for payment.
Okay. Yeah, this could have been a different video. Yeah.
All right. Anything else from our listeners?
Yes, last one. So Tony writes in with a poem. It may be already in our minds and bones, but don't you say anything nasty about our lovely phones. The GGs in the towers have started to gallop, sending secret messages into our brains with a hefty wallop. You won't notice a thing except tiredness and unmotivation. It's the elites trying to control us and every other nation. Beware of digital currency, AI tools to control us in our homes.
Okay, yeah.
Heck, that works. And he goes on to say, he's wondering about the possibility of being able to detect these subliminal messages hidden in normal speech on phones. And whether they can be filtered out to protect us from what he sees ahead. The next electronic pandemic for ultimate control of the human species, using all the insidious weapons unknown to us. And what is the objective in forcing us from copper-wired phones and computers to the ultra-fast fiber network to squirt through those subliminal messages to fire up the nanotechnology already in our blood? Interesting question for another day, I think.
Yeah, I don't have any answers for that, but any question is reasonable these days.
Yeah, I think it sure is.
I'm not going to poo-hoo anything. All right, is that our mailbag, or do we have
that's our mailbag. There is, to be fair, one other one, which I will leave for next week, because it's kind of fits in with the topic we'll talk about then.
But all right.
Spoiler, sweetie, I won't tell you now.
Okay, but, fair enough. Yeah, okay, something to look forward to. Adversarial AI is the main topic this morning, core topic. We'll get to that, but we do like to sort of get around some of the tech news. First of all, you want to remind people of that MF talk that we've been touching on last few weeks. You've been telling us it's on the way, so one more time.
It's also been circulated in various VVF socials, for example, but this Saturday, November the 30th from 2 to 4 p.m. is Andy Hooley's presentation called Let's Talk EMF Solutions. If you happen to be local to Christchurch, it's at 8 Settlers Crescent and entry is by Koha. They are going to be sticking a Zoom link at some point in this week on the Safer EMR Technology website. And just the topics he'll go over are remediating EMFs, solar power and EMF, smart meters, like what's the footprint, the EMF footprint of a smart meter, cars and EMF, so going over the different types of cars and the EMF that they produce, and Bluetooth, AirPods and headphones and hearing aids. So that'll be a good talk. I'm not sure if I can make that one personally, but I might be able to electronically.
Maybe you can send Kit.
Maybe he can. He can just, like, give me the summary.
Yeah. Well, he could broadcast it live to you. Surely you've got that capability in Kit.
That's actually what I was thinking of doing, because I sort of getting ready for the Timaru parade, and I thought, well, I can drive and listen.
Kit can
do all that. Yep.
Yep. All right. Otherwise, he's no use.
Oh, exactly. That's what it's for.
Okay. Well, once he's done the transport, but anyway. All right, Google Maps versus Organic Maps. This is an app battle, is it?
Yeah, so this is something that happened to me last week. So I went away for a few days, traveling up the South Island with a group of others, and I decided to go ahead because of where I live, further north than others, And Cheviot was a meeting point. So I thought I'd go a little early and go and hang out in the cafe there and then go to the Cheviot domain because that was the agreed meeting place. Now,
Maps, some sort of deal there.
Well, I think the only deal that would go on would be a whole lot of grass because there's a grass up to your knee in the domain.
Okay.
But so I was using organic maps, and which is using data based upon OpenStreetMaps. I went to the correct location. Everybody else using Google Maps went somewhere else. They all went to the Cheviot Hills Reserve. So there's no real marking of the Cheviot domain in Google Maps. So I went to the right place, so I was told, and everyone collectively went to the wrong place.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone else has been hit with that, though most people would just use the Google Maps. All right, so not so accurate. Is that because it hasn't been tagged properly in the map or something like that? Is that how that works?
Potentially. I mean, if you look at Google Maps for where Organic Maps says the Cheviot domain is, it just lists it as the rugby clubs, which is accurate. There is a rugby club there, but it's otherwise also labelled as the domain, and there's nothing else in Cheviot, according to Google, that identifies as a domain.
If I was the, top programmer of Google Maps, I'd probably want to know about this.
Yeah, well, maybe
we're kind of having our map service being usurped or bettered by another map service. Can't have that.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll fix it. Who knows? I'm not going to bother to tell them.
They might listen and they might hear this.
I thought it was quite a chuckle.
I found
it very amusing.
Did you try not to be, too preachy about it to the others?
I didn't really say anything. I guess the only dig was when they were saying, we sort of went to the right place. And I said, you might want to check a different map. Of course, they don't know these other maps exist.
You could give them the download link.
All right. Be there forever.
Okay, AT customer privacy policy. You have your hand on that, do you? And what does it say?
Yeah, so AT as in Auckland Transport. So Emma wrote in to say that she was a bit unhappy about Auckland Transport because she found that she was being forced to register kids to get a hop card, or you have to pay the adult fare if you don't get them a card. So I thought, what? That doesn't seem right. And then you also, if you were trying to register an Auckland Transport card for a kid, you can't use the same email address if you happen to get yourself one. So if you've got an administerial email address and you're handing multiple cards, apparently you can't do that.
Which you may well do if you've got kids doing.
Exactly.
So you'd get one for kids.
Yeah, you'd get one for you, you'd get one for kids. And, of course, you'd want to be the person who put money on the cards.
Yeah, control it, yeah.
Exactly. So if you have to set up with multiple email accounts, that's a bit weird, but that's not the worst of it.
Oh, there's more. Okay.
So reading the terms and conditions, there's a section that says about the kind of information that that they collect. And also who they might share it with. And if you read the T's and C's, well, the privacy policy says there may be times when we disclose your personal information to third parties. If we do this, we'll only disclose your information to, and then lists a lot of people, which happens, they say, those who provide products or services to us or products and services that support the services that we provide, such as our business partner, other suppliers and transport operators, anyone who assists us in protecting the operation of Auckland Transport and our networks and central solution systems, including the use of monitoring and detection in order to identify potential threats such as hacking and virus dissemination and other security vulnerabilities. And it goes on that's adding up to a lot of organisations.
Yeah.
And then the question is what is that information that they're passing on? If you go further up in the T's and C's, They have a section that says there may be times when we disclose your personal information to third parties, and this may include your name, your date of birth, your address, your email address, and telephone numbers, information on how you use our products and services, such as your transaction history, how much you spend, and browsing activity.
Oh, wait on, this is getting a bit dark, isn't it?
This last one had me reeling in my chair. They say lifestyle information and any other information collected in relation to your use of our products and services. What the hell is lifestyle information? Is it the way you sit on your couch?
Or their bus seat?
Or their bus seat? Like, I don't know what that is.
That's got to be health related, is it?
I don't know. Yeah, like, are you... One of the other things I thought of was, like, if you go in the supermarket, you know, those energy drinks, they downplay their negative effect by calling them lifestyle drinks. So that's where my brain went.
I feel like a lifestyle drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. But that's so many, because that operation's huge. They'll have relationships and deals with so many people. Well, they're going to give you details to the person that supplies the retread on the tires. I mean,
when I read stuff like this, it's like, man, I'm such an advocate for giving false data, because they don't need to know where you live. They're going to, like, send you a Christmas present.
Well, if they're making money out of the data, they do.
Well, yes, there is, but you just need to go from A to B in the bus, and maybe C if you need to, like, transfer.
It used to be so easy.
It did, but, like, I guess the point here is read terms and conditions, and this is exactly what Emma has said, and she has been asking them to delete information that has been collected when purchasing such a card. So it'd be interesting to hear how she gets on with that.
I don't think you can get on with cash anymore, can you? I'm just trying to remember my time in Auckland.
I remember very recently seeing some bit of news where I think that was the case. You can't use cash anymore.
Yeah, so they force you into the card system and then take all your information.
Yeah.
Because with cash, there is no information.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think of a word. What demanding... Who do they think they are?
I was going to say, is it a word safe for radio? Because I can think of many words and they're unspeakable.
Okay, well, we won't go there, but I think we can think of some. All right, Apple patent. It's a new authentication patent. What do you have to do now? What body part do you have to show them now?
Well, funny you should say that. It's your heart.
Your heart?
Yeah, well, you don't have to show it to them, because that sounds like a bad ending. But they've got a patent now to a new approach in the iPhone that allows you to authenticate, in other words, unlock the phone by using your heart rate, by simply just holding the thing, holding it in a way that you would normally hold a phone when you're using it. Not quite sure how this could work if you happen to buy a case for it, but it's got points around the phone that you just hold it and it will take an ECG of your heart rate. And apparently, in the way that fingerprints are unique to individuals, so are your heart. And you can kind of see that this potentially, I mean, yes, it's absolutely invasive, but it could be used to determine whether someone, like a driver, a pilot, operator of heavy machinery or whatever, is in the right state of mind. They're not under drugs or anything like that, to determine whether or not they should be allowed to be doing what they're doing. So
they always sell it on safety.
Yeah, they just sell it on safety. And of course, you can trust Apple. I hope you can hear the sarcasm in that.
I can. So now we're preventing air crashes.
I guess so. And people losing fingers when using heavy machinery.
I'm not surprised to hear about that. AI now predicting crimes. I'm not surprised to hear that either. I think we've talked about or touched on that from time to time, the potential for that. What's happened now?
So everyone references the movie Minority Report, but now it's kind of here, particularly if you are in South Korea. So they've got a system It's been created by the Electronics and Telecommunications Research Institute, and it's called Deja Vu. And it's an AI system that analyzes CCTV footage to detect or potentially prevent any criminal activity. And this has apparently, using predictive crime mapping, demonstrated an accuracy of 82.8%.
Well, that'll be in then.
Yeah, that'll
be in. Because it's for our safety.
Or the South Koreans, at least. And so the way this part works is that there's two key ways. First is a time and space-based prediction model that evaluates the elements, such as whether a crime previously occurred in a remote area late at night. So if in a quiet, isolated location, if it shares similar environmental risk factors with a past late-night crime, then the system assesses the high risk of another incident and then makes some comparisons and comes up with a number. And this was trained on a data set of over 32,000 CCTV video clips capturing various incidents across a three-year time span.
Okay.
So now it can apply this to live scenarios. And if you thought that was a little creepy,
yeah,
the Argentinians have taken this a step further. So they've got a new AI unit. This is sort of doing the same thing, but they analyze data beyond CCTV and also go poking around in social media websites
and the dark web
as well.
Oh, the dark web. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Boy, you won't be able to get away with anything soon, Stephen.
Pretty much. But I think
that's the whole idea.
It is the whole idea. But at the same time, this only works if we remain docile.
And but we
quiet.
Do. We will.
Yeah. It's the old vacuum cleaner salesman foot in the door, thin end of the wedge thing. But of course, the wedge is getting thicker all the time.
You'll know who we are. We won't be on buses. We'll be walking.
Yes.
Okay. It'll be the ones that the cops jump on just when we, come out of into the open space. Boom. They'll be there.
Yep.
They'll start going for people who they don't know about.
Just in case.
Yeah, well, that's what that would force, right?
Hmm.
Like, why haven't we got this information? What are you trying to hide? I ain't got nothing to hide.
Well, yeah. And I was going to say, what you say is, well, everything. And then when they query you on that, you start saying, well, I'm not going to tell you my PIN number on my cards. I'm not going to tell you my passport information. I'm not going to tell you a whole bunch of personal information.
Or you're a troublemaker.
Oh,
you're under arrest.
I am. If I'm not causing trouble, then there's no point in me.
Did you hear that, folks? All right, let's get on to adversarial AI. Is it what it sounds like?
No, adversarial AI probably sounds like it's, if it were to be stuck into a robot, you've got your Terminator right then and there, but it's actually the opposite. So adversarial AI is when you use various patterns and you stick it on clothing. And this is designed especially to try and confuse or even completely deceive AI computer vision systems like facial recognition systems.
Yep.
So this will potentially screw with the crime prediction thing if you disappear because you are wearing clothing that makes you look invisible.
I see how that works. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So this first happened in 2017 or so when researchers were able to confuse autonomous vehicles and the researchers of them because they placed carefully situated stickers on the stop sign, which made the stop sign look invisible like it wasn't even there. And there's a whole bunch of shops on the internet that you can buy stuff from. And they even have, some of them have hoodies which have built-in EMF shielding. So that's kind of handy. There's other hoodies that have license plates stuck all over them. So an automatic license plate reader would potentially see you and then it would have an electronic aneurysm trying to process the whole lot.
Well, first of all, it would think you were a car first up, but then if you've got multiple number plates all over, all different, yeah, it'd scramble its little brain, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like, well, there's like 100 cars just like went past in the blink of an eye.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. It reminds me of that old joke by Les Dawson, the UK comedian long gone, when he said he was so poor that last time he got his two-seater couch covered, he got it done in grey to match the pavement.
Very good.
That's an early version of that. Okay, well, that's interesting. So,
I'll let you know a few URLs if you're keen to have a look. It shouldn't. They're not hard to find, but one of them is called antiai.biz. That's B-I-Z. Then you've got adversarial-designs.shop. You've got adversarialfashion.com.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then on Etsy.com, so that's E-T-S-Y.com, they've got an anti-AI clothing section. And you can even get pants. Like, it's not just shirts. I've seen some shirts where they have wording on them that says, I don't need ChatGPT, my girlfriend knows everything.
I think I've heard some similar. Okay, well, that could be an interesting line of fashion. I'll be looking out sometime for anyone wearing that. Well, if I see something like that, I'll know what I'm looking at now.
I think you will, because some of the, shall we call it art, you'd do a double take and go, that just looks weird.
And why would anyone do that? Yeah.
Well, you know, when you look at optical illusions, like particularly with stairs you follow the lines around.
Yep.
Yeah. It's almost like you're looking at something like that, and then other ones are just looks like a blurring of colours, like somebody melted a whole bunch of crayons together, and it just, you look at it and it messes with your head. So hopefully it messes with AI head as well. Of course, this brings in the cat and mouse game of people going, well, if people wear these clothing, then we need to try and work.
Well, they'll train AI to recognize it, wouldn't it? They'll be training to recognize it, yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, then somebody will tweak the clothing design, and then here we go, back and forth.
So it goes. We've come up against time. Anything more to say about any of what we've just been talking about before we're done?
No, I think that's about it for a Tuesday morning.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. We'll see you in a week.
See you then. Bye.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.